Welcome to the Good For Your Season podcast. All right, welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Good For Your Season Fantasy Football Podcast. This is Brian. I'm with Nick.
How's it going?
What's up, man?
I'm doing okay, man. I'm dog sitting right now.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
And it's a tiny, like, two-year-old pit bull, like, mix.
Right on.
And she's, like, adorable and curled up in my bed right now.
Oh, that's awesome, man. It's always helpful when they're, like, good-behaved dogs.
Oh, she's so good. She loves people and other dogs, and it's awesome.
No, dude, I miss my old dog. So yeah, dude, there's really, like, not been a whole lot going on since the last time we spoke, except for a couple of your Ravens went down.
If any Ravens fans in the DMV want to have a pity party, just, you know, shoot me an email or message. Like, we'll get it done. We need to be there for each other in this our time of need.
So, yeah, it was Flacco is injured for a couple of weeks.
A little bit. Flacco is tough. I've seen it in person of him, like, getting the shit knocked out of him and him just, like, popping right back up. Mm-hmm. I think it's more of a precautionary thing.
Yeah.
Even he said it will be fine. He's like, yeah, I'll probably take a week off and be fine. So he's tough. He's a tough dude. I'll give him that. And so I think he'll be fine.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll see the crab mallet return anytime soon.
The crab mallet. Oh my god! Anybody got a job for Ryan Mallet? Yeah, it was like I think it was rumors that he threw like what 5 picks that one day and got real upset.
I mean, typical. He wasn't playing the Steelers, so yeah. He's been terrible.
Typical Ryan Mallet behavior.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was Crockett Gilmore went down today or something. Did he get hurt today or was it just announced today or?
It was like a PCL sprain. I think it was a PCL sprain. And I think he's going to be out for the year.
Ugh.
Yup.
Oh, man. Well, like, as a Bengals fan, I don't have too much pity for you. But, like I said, man, as long as my guy, Danny Woodhead, doesn't go down, I'm good. Like, that offense.
Oh, this is all his fault.
He brought that curse with him. He brought that evil with him.
Yeah. He brought that San Diego bullshit with him.
That San Diego bullshit. No, yeah, you guys just have had a rough period of luck with the injuries lately. Ever since he's been around, but he's the one Raven. Like I said, we've mentioned before. I'm targeting, and his value has just been going up more throughout the last few weeks, yeah. Especially in PPR. I've seen him like fourth, fifth round. So, mm-hmm.
Correction about Crockett Gilmore. He's out for the season after knee surgery.
Okay,
MCL.
MCL.
He had it repaired.
Right on.
Yeah. So. A little different, but either way, still out for the season.
Yeah.
So, he was more of a blocking tight end anyway.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit interesting in like deeper leagues, but yeah, it's not that big a deal.
No.
If anything, it makes people like Ben Watson and maybe even Max Williams a little bit more interesting.
Or even maybe
because like there's just less competition now.
Mm-hmm.
And they just signed like Larry Donnell, who I'm not worried about, but I've used him in fantasy weeks before, like in the past.
Yeah, I've plugged Larry Donnell in when you needed like a waiver wire tight end for someone from the bye week in the past.
Just a name to remember. It's like, yes, this guy still is in the league.
Yeah,
actually,
he could be serviceable.
He's that level.
But no, I mean, if someone like Crock Gilmore goes down, like even if he was a blocking tight end, it could even make someone like Jeremy Maclin's value a little bit more. You could see more targets going his way. I'm not sure.
A little bit. I just saw another tweet or whatever from Jeff Zerbiak. I've seen this dude's name a million times. I can never learn how to pronounce it. He's the Ravens beat reporter for the Baltimore Sun.
Okay.
He just said Breshad Perriman pulled up on a route today and left practice about 45 minutes in. Appeared to tweak something in his right leg.
Oh my god, the Woodhead curse.
I've read in comments that Harbaugh says he's gonna be fine, but since it's Breshad Perriman, saying he's gonna be fine means he's gonna be out for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
So RIP.
I'm not even sure if he actually exists.
That's like a meme going on like right now.
Yeah, he's a myth. He's like Bigfoot.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And I mean, I still have faith in Pearman. If I didn't already have like 1.5 million good wide receivers on my dynasty team, he would be on it. He's on the waiver right now, waiver wire right now. Mm-hmm. But that will probably change. So.
Yeah. All right, man. So that's the news on the Ravens injury front recently. I know the last time we spoke, I kind of mentioned there was like it was a rumor at the point that Zeke Elliott might be getting a possible suspension. That's still like kind of up in the air at the moment. There's no ruling that's come down. It's literally been almost a month now that this has been going on. Is he going to get a game? Is he going to get 2 games? Is he going to get 4 games? Like, is he going to get nothing? I kind of hate to see the NFL get like this political over this stuff. It's going to have a huge impact on fantasy. At least it's going to have a little bit of an impact on the first or second round. I think we saw like a guy like Le'Veon Bell fell to this like a second round in my PPR league last year because of the suspension. So
I don't think he'll fall that far, and I think it's because he also so Le'Veon did have the suspension last year, but the year before he was also injured. Mm-hmm. So I think that had a lot to do with it too. It's like, well, he's suspended and he has an injury possibility, so that's what made him like a little bit riskier. Zeke doesn't have that sort of stigma attached to him, so I don't think he'll be dropping to the second round. Maybe he'll drop to the end of the first.
If he gets a 4-game suspension, I can definitely see him going to the second round because that's like a quarter of the season.
Well, see,
but you're right.
I don't have to disagree. I'm gonna have to disagree here because I think that if he does like drop to like 6th or 7th pick, which I think is gonna be the lowest, honestly, even if he's suspended 4 games, I would take him after the big three, but before anyone else, because I think that he's going to be, even if it's like 4 games or less, that's sort of my threshold. You can fill that hole for 3 to 4 weeks. You can grab like Terrence West, someone like that, who with Dixon out, Dixon was already going to be out like 4 weeks. Now he's out the whole season. That's a starter right there. That was at least going to be a starter for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You can get other guys like later on, like Jaquizz or something like that. Like Jaquizz Rodgers plus like Ezekiel Elliott is going to be a top 5 running back. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Bar none.
Where's Jaquizz now? Is he still in Tampa Bay? No, he's not.
I say Jaquizz because Doug Martin's also suspended.
Yeah, that was one of the threads I had saved from these past few weeks, or the past few days. I mean, it was. The Bucks GM said that he's not guaranteed to keep his starting job when he returns. Yeah. He's been one of those guys that's been so inconsistent throughout his career. He's had like two really good seasons.
Yeah, unfortunately,
because
he's really talented.
Yeah, so I think even last year he was like going in the 4th or 5th round, and it was just too risky for my blood. And then he had a down year. So Doug Martin, and I think I even took Charles Sims like in the 6th round just because I was so high on Sims. But I understand where you're saying with that with the Jaquizz Rodgers because that Tampa Bay running back situation, I feel like is kind of it's murky. I don't want any part of Doug Martin.
I mean. Yes and no. You'd have to. I think the Tampa Bay offense in general is going to improve, mm-hmm. and so usually when that happens, like the running game improves, and people are going to have to. I think Jameis Winston's going to have a big year this year, so that obviously will do well for the run game because people are going to have to respect him more. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I definitely see the risk there, and that's I think that's reflected in the ADP right now, and so I feel like it's kind of
I don't even know.
That, you know,
I don't even know where Martin's going.
Fairly late, actually, for a guy of his history and his sort of position, very late.
Might be like worth a late round flyer if he's like a 13th round or something.
His ADP right now is 82.
Yeah,
Which is the 33rd running back taken. And I would wait for some more reports, but if you're drafting late and he has a good camp and stuff like that, and I believe players that are suspended can play in preseason. If you see him in preseason and he looks good, like, 82 is pretty damn good. I take that for Doug Martin, who has the history and has therefore has the possibility of being a top five running back. I'm not saying he'll do that, but he's done it before.
He's done it before. No, yeah. I know what you're saying.
And that has a certain weight to it.
No, yeah, I feel like today we're going to touch on a lot of these guys that were kind of going in like 7th, 8th, 9th round range, especially in PPR. So there's a few of those guys I want to talk about. One of them, Pierre Garçon, a few days ago mentioned Brian Hoyer about how far Hoyer can throw the ball. He loves to throw the deep ball, and Hoyer led the NFL in yards per completion in 2014 with the Browns under Kyle Shanahan. So that's just kind of something to keep in mind. I don't think Hoyer is necessarily fantasy relevant, but Pierre Garçon.
The only thing I'll say to that is I can see it, but at the same time, the stat they're referring to when he was on the Browns was also when your boy Josh Gordon was on the Browns.
Yeah.
So yeah. Then at that point, you have to compare the talent of Josh Gordon then and the talent of Pierre Garçon now.
Mm.
And my bet's on Josh Gordon, actually. I don't know if people have, if you're new to fantasy and you maybe heard of Josh Gordon, but you didn't really, like, weren't there, like, when he lit the freaking league on fire in 2014 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Check that out. He was pretty good.
According to I usually, my default rankings that I go to is Fantasy Pros. So when I'm talking about the rankings that I'm looking at, that's usually what I'm referring to is Fantasy Pros. But overall, they've got Pierre Garçon ranked 71st overall, which is the 33rd wide receiver.
Yeah.
I'm really not a fan of really any of the players on San Francisco fantasy wise this year.
Now,
he is a wide receiver one with
that
system. No, I was just gonna say he is a wide receiver one on that team in that system with Kyle Shanahan, and it is like one of those guys who's going in that range, like that 71st overall is like the beginning of the 7th round.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like what we're talking about, these guys that, like, there's a little bit of risk, but there's also some upside.
Oh, I agree. I think if I'm looking at the rankings right now as well, and Pierre Garçon is at 84 in the rankings, with wide receiver 36.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's ridiculous. Because, I mean, he's not the best, but, like, the fact that he's ranked anywhere below 32 is absurd. Because he's going to be the wide receiver one on that offense. And I know it's not the same as, like, a starting running back in the NFL, but, like, a wide receiver one in the NFL is worth more than the wide receiver 36.
Absolutely.
That's a little presumptive of people that are doing the rankings on this. So and again, as you say, I think he will. Shanahan's game is feeding the X, and I do think he'll do a bit of that. Whether Garçon is up to it will depend on his talent, but I mean, I feel like he has a baseline level talent, or he wouldn't be in the league this long.
No, absolutely. I mean, I agree. He's not one of those guys. He's not like a sexy name, like a big, you know what I mean? But he is a wide receiver one nonetheless. So
he could get it done for you. Yeah. And in the 8th round, I'll take it.
Yeah. Let me ask you, because this is someone else we're going to be talking about in a little bit, because we're going to touch on a little bit on, like, the Carolina Panthers offense today. Would you, and this is, these guys are getting drafted around the same area. Would you rather have Pierre Garçon or Kelvin Benjamin this year?
Garçon.
Okay.
Garçon.
Yeah.
I think that, and we'll talk about it a little later, Kelvin is a good upside sort of guy, but I think that in that offense, Garçon is going to be the one that gets fed if any receiver on that team gets fed. Mm-hmm. Kelvin has a little bit more competition, both from, like,
just all Samuel throughout the offense and everything.
Yeah, I mean, Olsen as well. Like, Olsen's still, like, the number one receiving option in Carolina as of now.
And I believe they drafted a rookie too.
They drafted two. San Francisco?
No, Carolina.
Yeah. Well, they drafted Curtis Samuel.
Okay.
Which scratched. I mean, if you've been following Dynasty, you probably know the narrative beyond that. Curtis Samuel was drafted like after Christian McCaffrey, but according to like analysts and like that, he's kind of the same guy. And when he was announced at the draft, he went in as a running back. When the pick was announced, he was announced as a wide receiver. So there's a lot of people saying that like he might do some sort of like scat pack sort of shit, like with both him and McCaffrey there in the backfield with Cam. And he also might line up like out like sort of like Le'Veon Bell does sometimes, mm-hmm. or line up like in the slot and stuff.
Throw him in the slot. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, like I said, we are going to touch on that Carolina Panthers offense because I think there's so many intriguing players in that this year. Just some other news just to touch on real quick. A couple days ago, there was a report from ESPN.com that Dalvin Cook is receiving first team reps with the Vikings. Another rookie running back. Kind of, I think he's bumping up a little bit too because it's just kind of obvious that Latavius Murray is... He's just not going to be like the long-term answer there, and I don't even know if he's going to last the full season with the Vikings. So, especially if someone like you who plays Dynasty, I feel like Dalvin Cook's just and his value is starting to get higher.
He is definitely he's definitely the Dynasty play in rookie drafts. He's going like top five, mm-hmm. with McCaffrey, Mixon, Fournette, and Corey Davis, mm-hmm. I see that because the talent is there, but it's more the opportunity, and I could see him either ride the pine this year behind Latavius if Latavius does well. A lot of people won't think he'll do well or he'll be pedestrian or whatever, or they're going to sort of ease him in to sort of starting and maybe starting. He might start slow and then come at the end. I think this is training camp hype, to be honest. I'm seeing a lot of people drafting Cook like before a lot of like veterans and stuff like that, and just I'm really risk averse to rookies in redraft. I think Ezekiel is skewing this year's draft a little bit because he came out of nowhere as a rookie and just like destroyed people. And I think people are now thinking that, oh, because these five guys are going high in rookie drafts, because they'll be good, they must be good. They must be at least worth like an eighth.
I had this pretty much this exact conversation with a user on Reddit. It was in this thread that we're going to talk about Christian McCaffrey, but it was pretty much that exact thing about how, you know, kind of Zeke with the expectations for him and kind of this, how he may have skewed these other rookie running backs. Because Zeke kind of bucked the trend for rookie running backs. There was a few years there where rookie running backs kind of just weren't very relevant in fantasy or in the NFL. And then kind of Zeke kind of bucked that trend. So we'll kind of see because there are a lot.
David Johnson was kind of that way as well. I mean, there have been good rookie like running backs and stuff, but there's usually like one. Like mm-hmm. there's like it's Le'Veon Bell, it's David Johnson, it's Zeke Elliott. They all were not rookies together, but everyone thinks that it's going to be Fournette, Mixon, McCaffrey, and Dalvin Cook all in the same year. I just don't think that's going to happen.
No, I agree. And I think that. I don't think it's unreasonable to think that two of them might hit and two of them won't, or maybe just, you know, who knows.
Might hit later in the year.
Later, exactly. Like, which I think people are kind of feel. That was my feeling about Dalvin Cook a few weeks ago, but from that article about DeMarco Murray and Dalvin Cook, it says, Latavius Murray. Latavius Murray remains on the physically unable to perform list and hasn't practiced with the Vikings since signing this spring. So he hasn't even practiced with them. And then they said McKinnon has been sidelined since suffering an injury on Thursday. So Cook has gained an edge simply by just being on the field, they're saying. He's getting reps, first-team reps. So it's there.
That is a fair point. And I think we'll have a... better idea of that once either of those guys get back. Mm-hmm. McKinnon wasn't terrible. He was rosterable last year when AP went down as a bye week fill-in or whatever. So he's definitely going to have veteran experience over that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that he's better than Dalvin Cook. But again, I just think that Dalvin Cook's going too high in redraft. Now, rookie draft, I think he's going right where he needs to be. But in redraft, the price people are paying for him right now is a price I'm skeptical of. So
I can understand that. I'm going to look where Fantasy Pros has Dalvin Cook.
I'm looking at the rankings, and he's running back 24.
Yeah, they've got him running back 24, 61st overall, so maybe sixth round. I like that value more than, I feel like that's a little bit less of a risk than taking
He's ahead of Frank Gore.
Yeah.
And I'd take Frank Gore over Dalvin Cook at this point.
I would too.
Amir Abdullah, I think Amir Abdullah is going to have a good year. Apparently he's going ahead of Paul Perkins, LeGarrette Blount. It's just it's not that people are saying he's going to be top five this year or something like that. It's just that there are guys going later that I think have a better chance of doing just as well or better.
I understand.
Yeah.
Well, would you feel more comfortable in terms of we're talking about risk, the risk that comes with a rookie in redraft. Would you feel more comfortable taking Dalvin Cook in the sixth or McCaffrey or Fournette in the third or the fourth in a PPR league? Or even Mixon too.
See, yeah, that's where it gets a little interesting. I'm actually going to go with Fournette because I know that he's going to have, whether he's good or not is irrelevant because he'll be in that situation to where he has the easiest path to being the starter and the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So in the future, it's a little bit more of a conversation, but in terms of in redraft helping your team right now, mm-hmm. I think it's going to be Fournette. Because I think if Dalvin Cook ends up a top 20 running back, I think it'll be because he'll have a great second half of the season and will start coming on week 5 or 6 or something when they realize mm-hmm. Latavius Murray is mediocre as hell.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk more about, this Panthers offense because there was a thread from, it was a day or two ago, Jonathan Stewart saying no one can cover Christian McCaffrey one-on-one. So that's kind of, there was a lot of discussion that I got involved with on the fantasy football subreddit about that. Some people worried about pulling the trigger on McCaffrey for his price. Some people think he only has value in PPR leagues. I think Christian McCaffrey could be one of the more, out of those rookie running backs we were talking about, is the most intriguing simply because I think his value fluctuates most depending on what format you're playing in. Obviously, he has more value in PPR leagues, but that whole Panthers offense is kind of very interesting to me this year. We got McCaffrey, who was a top 10 pick, who it seems to be someone who's going to be very involved in their passing game and running game as well. Kelvin Benjamin, who has shown he can put up 1,000 yards as a receiver and almost 10 touchdowns. This also comes with an injury risk, and there's been talks about his weight this year. And then you got Cam Newton, who last year was him and Rodgers were the top two fantasy ranked quarterbacks because he was coming off of an MVP year, and now he's one of those guys that you're seeing going that 7th, 8th, 9th range. So I just feel like this Panthers offense is just very intriguing. So I just want to spend, I know we talked about it a little bit before we started, but we just want to talk a little about those players. And because I know earlier today you had mentioned me about Kelvin Benjamin and his weight, because there was talks that he'd come into camp heavy and stuff. So
yeah, apparently he when he did spring workouts or something like that, he reported he was 270 pounds, which at any height, which he's 6'5", so he probably didn't look like a big old tub of goo, but probably by football player standards he was. And
yeah,
then,
270 is a lot. That's
yeah,
a lot
and then
of weight.
Well, then apparently I just saw a report from CBS Fantasy or CBS Sports or whatever that he showed up today, the training count at 243, which seems like a lot to a lot of like normal people because they aren't athletes, and it usually would be for a lot of people that are not normal athletes, but he plays at about that weight. In the combine, he weighed 240. So this is about the weight. This is about the weight he's going to be at now. So I think it might be time to put the rest, the notion of you know him being like being the East Coast Fat Eddie, because I mean he's back down to where he sort of started. Now whether that means he also was practicing football, that will still remain to be seen. But if people are wanting to give up on him because of weight in like dynasty leagues or whatever, or are still passing on him in your leagues when you're drafting because they're worried about the weight issues or whatever, and haven't heard this sort of news, if he's dropping to like a 7th, 8th, 9th round, I'd take it. And I'd take it because you probably by then already have, if you're drafting properly,
yeah, you might already have like three already other receivers.
Yeah, you would already if you're having your 8th round, you already have 7 players. Two at least should be wide receivers.
Exactly.
Who are you more confident in? So you can take that risk because it's probably not the most likely thing he'll be a top 5 receiver this year, but he's done it before. Mm-hmm. And so he'll once someone has done it before, and done it as consistently as he sort
and
of.
He's still
did.
A young guy too.
There's always that potential. Yeah, he's exactly. Not, there's always that
that's
sort of
why,
potential, and that was that. That top 5 season was relatively recent. Mm-hmm. So, as long as that you sort of have that info and that experience with him, I think he's worth it.
I agree. That's kind of why I asked you about him and Pierre Garçon, because I think Garçon has like a bit more years on him. Obviously, he's been in the league longer, and I think Garçon's a bit less of like an injury risk than Kelvin Benjamin. But I think I would, especially after talking about him today and just looking, I think I'd go with Benjamin there. I mean, like you said, at the end of the 7th, beginning of the 8th round, I should already have 3 other receivers, at least, like you said, at least 2. And that means that Kelvin Benjamin is like a flex or a bench player that you're hoping might be like, and that just has that upside to either hit or maybe end up as like your wide receiver 2 on your fantasy team. He's got a lot of upside. And at that set, like you said, that a 7th, 8th, 9th round for a wide receiver 1 in an offense that's like a year or two removed from a Super Bowl, I think that's great value there.
I'm implying that they got to the Super Bowl by their offense.
But you know what I mean. A couple years off of like 2 years away from Newton's MVP year, they were saying they want him to run less. So it's obviously going to need more runs for McCaffrey, Stewart. And maybe more, catches for Olsen and Benjamin. But that whole, like, going back to the Panthers running back situation, it's just, Jonathan Stewart's not one of those guys I felt has ever been very consistent in fantasy-wise. I mean, he's been good for, like, 800 yards a year around there, which I think is solid, like, for an NFL. But like from a game to game basis, he's been pretty inconsistent the last few years. He's missed.
He's kind of like a poor man's Frank Gore. Like when he's healthy, he's like your perennial sort of RB2 sort of thing. But unlike Frank Gore, he's not that much of a survivor. He doesn't play a lot of. He doesn't play all 16 games a lot of the time. That's why they had people in the first place, whatever. And I think that he might be decent later round if you don't get McCaffrey, because I think it's going to be a similar situation with like Dalvin Cook, where they won't be so apt to throw him into the fire just yet, because they already have that, that run game there. And when you, they'll probably put McCaffrey in there for plays specifically for him. I've been hearing Panthers training camp, they've like one of the first plays that he ran there was like a bubble screen that went really well. Mm-hmm. So it'll be like that sort of stuff, which is great and which is good for PPR sort of stuff. But when it comes to like the ground and pound, the touchdowns, that sort of thing, I feel like it's going to be Jay Stew or it's going to be
I'm not.
So you got to think about that when you look at running backs.
I'm not banking on a whole lot of touchdowns from McCaffrey, but I'm kind of, if you're taking him in PPR, you're kind of hoping that he's kind of like, you know, like a Danny Woodhead, except, you know, maybe except a little on steroids or something. You know what I mean? Like a little bit better version of Danny. Exactly.
A younger Danny Woodhead.
Who's going to get a little bit more rushes and just... He's definitely gonna juke some people out of their shoes from what we've been hearing. He's got the skill set.
And in Dynasty, like he's definitely worth. I mean, he's definitely a first rounder in Dynasty. He's in that top four running back tier sort of conversation. And I have the fifth pick in our rookie draft, and I'm on that sort of fence on like I'm wondering who may or may not fall to me. And I don't know what I want to do because there are other players like later in the round that I kind of want to trade back for if I can get someone out of it. But at the same time, I might have to take up one of the top guys because a lot of them are talented. All four of those guys, Fournette, Mixon, McCaffrey, and Cook are all super talented guys.
And some of them are in good, like I said, good situations. I kind of like... I weighed in on the thread on the subreddit with a couple comments, and the one thing I said is that I, out of all of the rookie running backs this year, I feel like I like McCaffrey the most, just because you and I were talking like we prefer PPR, and I think obviously that
I think that's slowly becoming the standard.
I agree.
Heard on the ESPN Fantasy podcast like the other day, they just started that back up. Their ESPN is now their default in their leagues is now.
I agree. PPR. I feel like it just instead of standard makes the whole thing more fun, more interesting, and more like even throughout the board in terms of like player scoring. And I encourage anyone who kind of anyone who's always just like looking to improve their league. If you're doing standard scoring, consider switching to like a half point PPR. That's what we did in my league when we did, you know, we did standard for years, and then we did a year with half point PPR. Everyone liked it, and then we switched to full point, and then we haven't looked back. So,
I agree. I think that's going to become the lay of the land. I mean, a lot of the daily sites are already PPR, and I mean, it's always an option on like the major platforms, stuff like that. But now I think more moving, like I said with ESPN, like if you just go in and make a league with ESPN and like don't change any of the rules or anything like that, you're gonna it's gonna be a PPR league. And I think that's gonna be with it becoming more of a passing league and with more, and with it going towards having more receivers and stuff like that and being less run focused. PPR is only going to make the game more interesting.
I agree.
Yeah, because when you add that PPR onto it, like already five or six more players become more viable, like Jarvis Landry, Danny Woodhead, people like that, Theo Riddick, Duke Johnson, like all these guys are mediocre to garbage in standard leagues. But in PPR,
and they deserve, and I feel like one of them deserve it. And one of the main arguments I always hear for against PPR is, well, what if the guy just catches the ball and gets 0 yards or loses yards? He doesn't deserve that point. It's just like, how often does that happen? But still, it catches. I just feel like they, you know, you deserve a point for a catch. I just feel like,
Well, I mean, the counter to that argument is, well, what about the times when guys make 1 yard catches, but it saves the drive that it wins a game? Like, that's only 0.1 in standard, but that play is hugely important to how their team won the game. So, I feel like that's kind of a
it is the way of the future, everyone. PPR, do not give in. Yeah. Resistance is futile.
My main league's half point, and I think we're gonna keep it this year. And then next year, I'm gonna propose that shift.
Yeah,
the full point.
I've just always found it more enjoyable, and honestly, I'm kind of at the point where
I kind of won't. I won't play in a league unless it's at least half point. So I just don't like. I just don't enjoy standard as much. Yeah. I found. So, but that's just me. But yeah, just going. I kind of going back. Like yeah. I just want to mention in terms of dynasty, I feel like this is one of the best. If you're looking for a running back, this is like probably the best year in recent. Well, one of the best years in recent memories for a rookie like running back draft class. So I really don't think you can go wrong with any of those top four guys in dynasty.
Yeah. I haven't done a lot of research into next year, but apparently next year is going to be good as well. So I'm pretty hyped about it.
So
pretty great.
I know we also one of the things we're going to do is we're going to do a 12 team mock just on Fantasy Pros. Do one of their couple of their simulations, kind of give people like an idea of what they'd be looking at and kind of those like expanded leagues in terms of like teams.
Yeah, and there's a few podcasts that have done mocks on the pod on their pod, so far. But a lot of them have been doing either like the first pick or the top three picks, something like that, an early pick. We're gonna do one that is the last pick in a 12 team.
Yeah.
So we'll get that turn. So that'll be interesting to discuss where we want to go at the turn.
Real quick before we get into that, I just want to mention the top three threads on the subreddit at the time that we're recording this episode of the podcast. There's a thread written up by user Stormfox about how Jordy Nelson is a cure-all for fantasy futility. Jordy Nelson, aka White Chocolate, about how just kind of just a write-up of how great he is with Jordy with Aaron Rodgers, how many targets he gets. I agree. I think Jordy Nelson in the second round.
Is that his Magic Mike like stage name?
Yeah, White Chocolate. Jordy White Chocolate Nelson. Apparently that was given to him by Ike Taylor, I guess former Steelers player. But
oh, nice.
Yeah, it's just kind of written up by, like I said, user Stormfox just kind of says that Jordy Nelson is one of the most consistently underrated players in fantasy football, which I could agree with.
Yeah.
So yeah, check that out. There's a thread just about how Eddie Lacy can cash in on another bonus today if he weighs 250 or less. Kind of just going back to what we were talking about earlier with guys in like that 7th, 8th, 9th round range. I think he's like rated 74th overall, which is running back 29 on Fantasy Pros. So again, from what we know, he's going to be the running back one there in a team that has been known to run the ball. And if he's in good shape and he's shown this discipline, I think I'm fine with spending a seventh or maybe even a sixth round pick on Eddie Lacy. If I'm just investing heavily in running backs, if he can keep up, the weight and everything, I like the team situation that he's in. And then there's just a thread about 9 fantasy football sleepers that I definitely think is worth checking out because all these guys are like late round legitimate sleepers. Marlon Mack is someone who's mentioned, which is another rookie running back, but he's obviously hasn't been getting too much talk about. But he's could be the backup for the Colts for Gore.
My only note with that is I don't like targeting sleepers based on the possibility of injuring the guy in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my only note on that. But besides that, apparently he's got the pedigree and stuff like that, and that's a good situation, so that's fair.
Yeah, and people are always wondering whether the wheels are going to fall off on Frank the Tank, but I'm hoping it's not
never.
This year. No, never. Not this
never,
year.
Never, ever.
I'm keeping him for a seventh rounder this year.
It's going to be 90.
Which is, again, talking about like that seventh round, that's kind of where he's going, and I'm going to keep him just because he was so consistent for me last year, and I might target Marlon Mack just late in the round just to keep as a handcuff just in case. But yeah, let's get into this mock draft because I'm interested in like we said, because this is like a lot of people that I talk to, I feel like it's kind of standard to do like a 10-man league, but there's a lot of people who do 12-man, 14-man, I've even heard of 16-man leagues, so they're definitely more competitive, and we're gonna do some mock drafts with the Fantasy Pros mock simulator from like this 12th pick in a 12-man league to see what you guys are looking at in like a PPR league.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right.
So do you want to set it up?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and I'm getting into the simulator now.
Yeah, I do want to talk about Jordy Nelson a little bit, though, because, I mean, in like some leagues, depending on the scoring or whatever, he was either the top wide receiver last year or the second wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the reasons why he's not getting drafted like it is because, I guess, some of the age, maybe. People are adverse to that, which in redraft, I'd never worry about. But I think people would want to go after the bigger names in terms of, like...
like Odell, you know, Julio. Like,
yeah, like the explosiveness and guys that can put up three touchdowns a game, something like that. Which Jordy definitely has the possibility of doing. But the great thing about Jordy is the consistency
exactly
at his position.
And he, especially last year, he killed it over like the second half of the season, which is, I think people have, that's kind of been a criticism on a guy like Larry Fitzgerald. I've heard people say he's been kind of like, he kind of slows down in the second half of the year, whereas Jordy Nelson just takes off. I love him in the second round. I hope that's kind of where he stays. And if I if I do end up with like the 10th overall pick in like a PPR league, I'd be happy to take someone like Devonta Freeman and then Jordy Nelson as like those my first two picks.
Because I mean, I'm looking at and this is from the My Fantasy League stats, where it's half point PPR, and I'm looking at his stat lines from last year. His lowest scoring game was 1.4 points. I don't know if he left early or whatever, but he only had one catch for 9 yards week 7 versus the Bears. Mm-hmm. I can understand the disappointment. Besides that, his next lowest score was the week before, 8.3.
Okay.
And that's the next lowest. Everything else, every other week is going to be higher. And the next lowest beyond that was the week 17. Doesn't matter because you're a smart league and you don't have week 17 playoffs, was 9.6. So you take out those 3 weeks and it's no less than 10 points a week, basically guaranteed.
Which is a great floor. I mean,
yeah, and then anymore. You look at the playoffs last year, and then this is half point PPR, so there'd be more in full point. The playoffs weeks, 13, 14, 15, and 16. Week 13 versus Texans, 21.8. Mm-hmm. Week 14 versus Seahawks, 19.1. Week 15 at the Bears, 15.9. Week 16, which would a lot of people's championships, 31.9.
Exactly.
Versus the Vikings at home, a divisional opponent, who he's guaranteed to play twice.
Yep.
And what was the other time? And he got the first time at the Vikings was 15.8 at the Vikings week 2.
See, that's
so it's just that consistent, steady Eddie, that sort of stuff.
I agree, man. And honestly, we're seeing guys like AJ Green and Mike Evans who are ranked ahead of him, it seems like.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hoping that he'll be there in that second round kind of gives me that maybe encouragement on kind of passing on them going with a running back in the first, which is kind of what we discussed in past episodes. Like, we really kind of want to get that running back. And then if he's there in a second, I love it. He's shown that he really shouldn't be there. He's got first round value. I think he's just as valuable as like Odell, Antonio, and Julio, but the age and the fact that he did have a knee injury within the last few years, I think is what people calls him to like be a little bit more hands off on him, but second round is such a steal for him.
Absolutely.
But so I've got this 12 team mock draft ready to go. We're gonna go, like I said, from the 12th position. One quarterback, two running backs, two receivers, a tight end, and then the flex can be a running back, receiver, or a tight end. And then we're doing defense, kicker, and 6 bench players. And again, it is PPR, so starting in right now. So, oh man, it's literally just kind of what I said a few minutes ago. So the top first round, kind of the first five was the pretty obvious: David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Zeke Elliott, Odell Beckham at 6th overall, which is great value. And then
Julio going over Zeke is a little bit surprising at this point.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, and then it's AJ Green, 7th, Mike Evans, 8th, and then it was like a run on running back. So Melvin Gordon, LaShawn McCoy, and DeMarco Murray went. So then we're looking at this 12th turn. I think for me, the choice is easy. It's Devonta Freeman, then Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm definitely down with that.
That's what they're recommending as well.
I think Freeman's sort of the same sort of guy where he does well, and he's that top 10 guy, and he can be pretty consistent. I mean, not as consistent as Jordy is, but he started a little slow last year. But, I mean, besides that, he can give you some great games.
Over the last 2 years, Devonta Freeman has ran for, I think it was like 1,100 yards and had 11 touchdowns in each of the last 2 years. So he's been pretty consistent the last 2 years. So, and he's another guy, which I'm fine. Even in like in a 10-man league, I might be fine with taking him over guys like Mike Evans and A.J. Green and then hoping that Jordy's there in the second round. But I think he's a great guy, especially talking about like PPR value. He's great.
Mm-hmm. Especially in the back end.
Oh, exactly. So now back around we're at the end of the third round now. The top overall players available to us in this 12-man mock is Lamar Miller, Alshon Jeffrey, Travis Kelce's there for tight end, Golden Tate, Jarvis Landry. So,
Miller.
Yeah, Lamar Miller is what the experts are telling us. When you do these Fantasy Pros mock drafts, they'll tell you like what percentage of experts agree, and he is the top-rated choice, and I agree with you right there. Filling out that getting two solid starting running backs, Devonta Freeman and Lamar Miller, and then Jordy Nelson is just a great way to start your draft.
And I think I one of the reasons why is I personally think that barring something going horribly wrong, I think Lamar Miller a running back two at least, and has that running back one upside. So it's gonna be your solid pick. It's gonna be that solid, more upside guy that will still have relatively consistent production.
Yep. And then we've got another choice here at the start of the fourth round. We could either, the experts are recommending we take Alshon Jeffrey to get our wide receiver two. And then we can also go Travis Kelce if we wanted to get a stud tight end, not have to worry about that. And then me right here, dude, I'd even kind of consider someone like Golden Tate, Jarvis Landry in PPR, or Tom Brady in the start of the fourth round. What do you think?
Hang on 1 second.
Alshon Jeffrey, Travis Kelce, Tom Brady, Golden Tate. Because I think I like Golden Tate a little bit more than Alshon Jeffrey.
I think I do too.
He catches a lot of balls, man.
He catches like a lot of balls, and I think that the Lions are going to throw more than
the Eagles
are going to, and I think that Stafford's a better quarterback.
I agree. So I think we kind of agree there, just that we're not going to draft Alshon Jeffrey there at the start of the fourth. What do you think about taking Tom Brady? Because then I feel like it's someone who's likely to be a top three quarterback. Won't have to worry about quarterback, or we can end up waiting. To me, I feel like the choice comes down to Tom Brady, Travis Kelce, or Golden Tate.
I'm gonna go Golden Tate here.
You're gonna go Golden Tate.
Yeah, okay, it's just because the quarterback's so deep this year. I'm still waiting to like. I'm still not. I'm still drafting a quarterback or a quarterback late.
I'm fine with that pick because I'm usually a proponent of waiting on quarterback and tight end. Yeah. So let's go ahead and take Golden Saint here, and then we'll see what's available to us. At the end of the fifth, going into the sixth round. Okay. So the end of the fifth, the top options that it's recommending we take Andrew Luck, and then Emmanuel Sanders is there. Tyler Eifert's recommended. Danny Woodhead is there, which
PBR, yeah, Woodhead, that's fine.
Woodhead, okay. I'm glad we're on the same wavelength here because now we've got three great running backs,
and we don't have to rely on any one of these guys being the guy to carry it.
Exactly, and a solid flex in Danny Woodhead and or Lamar Miller. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I really like that pick there, especially because from what we've heard from Andrew Luck, I don't know what the deal is with him. He's kind of like he's someone I'm kind of hesitant to take right now at this point until, like, I see something from him in preseason and hear more. Mm-hmm. I've just been kind of hearing, like, murky reports from him and whether he's throwing or not. It's just really odd. So, I mean, we could still take him now because it's the start of the sixth, or we could go Emmanuel Sanders, or we could cuff Tevin Coleman to Devonta Freeman. And then at that point, we don't have to – I just feel like we don't even have to worry about our running backs if we did that. I mean – but
wait, were the running backs was that Coleman?
So Tevin Coleman, Bilal Powell, C.J. Anderson,
and the six.
Gore, yeah, this is the six.
I would definitely go C.J. Anderson there.
Go C.J. Anderson. Mm-hmm. I like him more than Bilal Powell, but
I firmly believe in him over Booker and Charles.
Okay, so would you'd rather have C.J. Anderson than like take Tevin Coleman as like just to
yeah,
like handcuff mm-hmm. Devonta Freeman or Emmanuel Sanders?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So then let's take CJ.
So now
Anderson.
I think we have four solid running backs that are starters in the NFL. So now I think we can now go with good tight ends, good receivers, things like that.
Okay. Well, now, like, we were talking earlier about the seventh round and how intriguing it is for us. That's where we're at now. Frank Gore is still available, which I'd be fine taking him and just even having more.
That's tempting, actually.
That is tempting. Dante Moncrief is there for a receiver. Pierre Garçon for other running backs. Amir Abdullah and Theo Riddick are there. Kelvin Benjamin's available if we want to shore up our receivers, and then Kirk Cousins is available for quarterback. He's the top rated quarterback, and then Cam Newton. Experts want us to take Cousins.
I should do that. I think we should. I think we can take Cousins, which is the eighth, right?
This is the end of the seventh, start of the eighth.
Yeah, I think that's fine because we're in a 12-team league, so quarterback's still deep, but it's not that deep. And I think that, Cousins is going to have a great year. I think he has okay. sort of an upgrade.
Especially he wants that contract too. So
that contract somewhere. So he's going to ball yeah. out. And, he's proven he's done it before. And I think that we now have our roster constructed in a way to where we can take a quarterback in the seventh and eighth round, and then we can come back with this next pick and get something that's a wide receiver or like a tight end.
Yeah, I mean, we only have two wide receivers right now, Jordy Nelson and Golden Tate. So, but again, even Frank Gore is so tempting right there. And then Kelvin Benjamin. And then so if we wanted a receiver, we can go Moncrief, Garçon. Let's take Kelvin Benjamin. This is what we were talking about mm-hmm. him earlier.
I like that there.
So then that's the start of the eighth round. We're taking him.
Because you don't need to. I think one of the things that really pissed people off last year about Kelvin Benjamin was that a lot of people, when he came back from the injury, drafted him to be like their first or second wide receiver. And then when he was kind of terrible, he disappointed a lot of people. So, but mm-hmm. here we're good. Like he's our third wide receiver. So I don't expect much out of him. And if he does, it can only go there up from there.
That's exactly what we said earlier, though, too, is if you're drafting right, you should have had at least two other receivers ahead of him.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what we have. We got Jordy Nelson and Golden Tate. It could have been Jordy Nelson and Alshon Jeffery.
And when you have good running back depth as well, you don't have to scramble for a third wide receiver for your flex.
Exactly. So now we've got Cousins as our quarterback. We've got Devonta Freeman, Lamar Miller, Danny Woodhead, and C.J. Anderson as our running backs. Jordy Nelson, Golden Tate, Kelvin Benjamin as our
receivers. I want to tight end one of these two picks.
Well, right now it's telling us 68% of experts are telling us to take tight end Eric Ebron from Detroit with this pick. I don't know. I had him last year. He was okay. Like, he was good some games, but he's the 10th ranked tight end in PPR for here. And then after him, it's like kind of a drop off until it's like him. And then the 14th ranked tight end is Kobe Fleener is available. Jason Witten, Cameron Brate,
O.J. Howard.
Is Jack Doyle still there?
Jack Doyle is not. He got taken. The people after Ebron, who Martellus Bennett was taken, Hunter Henry, and Jack Doyle were all taken.
Ooh, that's weird. I would rather Kobe Fleener, just so we don't have all of our eggs on one team. And if I recall, Fleener did better towards the end of the year once he got more acclimated to the system. And let me see how. So he finished 16th last year. And okay, so never mind. Okay, games. I kind of like the upside of Fleener more than the upside of Ebron.
Well, I feel like we don't have to take Fleener here. I feel like, I don't know.
Yeah, what are other positions there?
Ebron's the top recommended. The top rated person available is DeSean Jackson, and then Cam Newton. I kind of even like taking Cam Newton there, so like to have our backup quarterback, because I think between Cam Newton and Kirk Cousins, one of them is definitely going to be a top 10 quarterback.
I'm totally down with that. If Cam Newton slides to the 9th or 10th pick in a 12 team league, do it.
Okay, so he's at the end of the 9th round in a 12 team league, so we're going to take Cam Newton to be our backup quarterback. Yeah.
And both those guys in the divisions face some crap defenses, at least crap in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's good to have. I kind of like the notion now that quarterback's so deep right now of waiting on quarterback and taking two guys like a Cousins and Cam,
mm-hmm.
or like even later guys or whatever. Like I really like pairing Stafford and Philip Rivers, because then you can play matchups, and you might not always get it right. But both those guys are gonna be good quarterbacks, and sometimes like there will be matchups where you can't lose.
I agree.
Like Cam's playing the Saints twice this year.
Well,
so
yeah, no, I agree.
So and I have not heard anything about the Saints getting better on defense.
No, I mean they did draft that cornerback, but who knows? It's still a Saints defense, and they've got a lot of holes to fill. But I kind of feel like we should take Ebron. Other than that, it's kind of like I feel like if we don't take Ebron, we're kind of banking on someone like Jason Witten, which I'm honestly fine with. Jason Witten's kind of always been solid. Or like I said, we could do kind of need the wide receiver depth than DeSean Jackson. It's Ebron or DeSean Jackson for me.
I'm gonna go with DJX.
DeSean Jackson. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's
PBR is not the best choice, but you never know. It might be a completely different story in Tampa Bay there.
True. And then that's honestly when the defenses started going. So then we're looking at Jason Witten is our top. What the experts tell us we should take. So we need a tight end. So we could take him. We could take two tight ends back to back if we wanted to. We could take him and Fedorowicz, or we could take a defense. Like I said, a bunch of defenses started going. The top three went Broncos.
Oh, I'm not taking a defense. Sorry.
No. Okay. No. Well, other than that, so I took Jason Witten for us. And then it's recommending John Brown. CJ Fedorowicz is another tight end. Chris Thompson, running back from Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny
we have, Britt. Wait, so we have both these picks right now?
I took Jason Witten. So we only have the second one.
Oh, yep. John Brown, hands down.
Okay.
Yep. No question. That is one of my guys that I'm targeting later, because apparently he's by our reports he's back to his old self, and should be nowhere to go with up. And every time these sort of reports have come out with everyone, this has always happened. They always bounce back and been awesome. Mm-hmm. Yay. So, but I John Brown's done it before. He's had 1,000 yards receiving. Seasons before, and I think he can do that again this year.
Right on. Yeah. I mean he's also our fifth wide receiver. So again, that's like one of those guys that just has got that upside, and we're just taking him late, hoping he breaks out again. And I don't know, maybe we can trade him or keep him. You never know. So
yeah,
fifth receiver.
At this point, you're going for those upside guys.
Exactly.
So I think that you want to swing for the guys that, that will have like 20-point games and stuff, not guys who will have 5 points every game.
Exactly. Well, there's not, like, again, now we're at the end of the 13th, going into the 14th round, Snake. So this is the you know, our two picks after this will be the last two picks of the draft. So okay. We are going to need, like, a kicker and a defense if we want to just wait to use the last two picks on them.
That's what I always do.
Okay.
And that's the one reason I don't – that's the one thing I hate about mock drafts, especially, like, automated mock drafts, is, like, they always set the algorithm up to fill the team first,
mm-hmm.
Instead of, like, going by actual, like, ADPs and stuff, which, like, I'm going to tell everyone right now, do not take a defense and kicker before the last two rounds. Don't. I'm a huge Ravens fan. I think Justin Tucker's the best kicker in the league.
I was just going to say, he's one of
and the coolest
one
dude ever.
Consider.
He is a personal hero of mine, despite being around the same age. I won't get him. I won't have him in any league this year, because everyone, there are always people that take him like in the 10th or something, or like auto draft. Always someone's always auto drafting. Auto draft always fills the spots first, and just don't resist the urge, because as good as he is per points per game, he's not gonna be much better than everyone else.
Well, guess what? I just took him in the 13th round.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Nah. Well, I mean, we could always revert it, but literally as you were saying that, I was like, you know what? Has anybody taken a kicker? Well, I'm taking him. I'm just kidding. Like, that's a good thing about these fantasy pros. You can go ahead and revert it.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
We could, like I said, if we want to, we could take him, but it's recommending we take Shane Vereen or Cameron Brate or Robert Woods. Right now, you're looking at sleeper territory. You're trying to get those late round sleepers. Robert Woods, if you can consider him a sleeper. Who else? Kevin White, Sterling Shepard, Josh Doxson are all there for receivers. Zay Jones available. John Ross.
Zay Jones is interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, that Zay Jones right there, out of all those guys, he's the one guy that has a clear path to playing, he is one of the guys that has a clear path to playing and is not like second or third fiddle in the offense, or even, you know, even worse. He is going to be the wide receiver two there. In Buffalo, behind Sammy Watkins.
Could end up as
and if Sammy Watkins is out, as Sammy Watkins is often wont to do, he will be the wide receiver one there.
Yeah.
And I think in a PPR, that's valuable, especially at the end of the draft. That's nothing. That's nothing at the end of the draft.
Yeah.
It's completely nothing.
In terms of, like, running back sleepers, we're looking at the Andre Washington from Oakland is available, and Jalen Richard. Both of them are available right now.
Rashard.
Should we go Rashard?
Sorry.
No, Rashard.
Yeah.
My bad. Yes, I mean...
Maybe.
And there's also Rex Burkhead is still there. I kind of like for, like, a late round flyer. Let's just take him.
I mean, is James White still on there? Because he might be a pretty good Patriots running back. The Patriots running backs is something you can do, like, a podcast series on.
I know. That was one of the first – I remember we talked about – was that one of the first things we spoke about was this.
Yeah.
There's, like, four of them right now.
I have Deion Lewis in Dynasty right now, and he was injured, like, half the year and, like, didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm keeping him. I'm not dropping him anytime soon because there's also a chance that it might be him breaking out, and he'll be the guy. You just don't know, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's pretty much – yeah, you never know. A Patriots backfield is,
a mystery wrapped in an enigma.
At this point, it's a mystery wrapped in an enigma. There's people talking about Gillislee is going to fill the blunt role. So we will see. I'm kind of avoiding any of them unless it's like a late round flyer, like someone like Rex Burkhead. But then with our last two picks, we're just kind of picking. Between like whatever defenses and kickers are left, but
I like the Ravens defense. Not in my homerism,
they are.
I think
available.
If they're available, they're going to be pretty decent. I think they have a decent schedule early. I stream defense a lot
because
mm-hmm. I think there are defenses out there on the waiver wire that will end up being like decent week to week, and are we matchup based or whatever? Because there's going to be a team who's going to suck, and it's going to be that team that's like, oh hey, they're playing the Browns this week or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like stream them. But like I think the Ravens defense is pretty undervalued. I don't know if all the other platforms are doing this, but ESPN changed their rules for defensive scoring to where the pick six rule to where if an opposing defense picks off that team's your defense's quarterback for a pick six,
it doesn't count
defense. So defense is like, oddly enough, the Jaguars become interesting because the Jaguars have a decent defense this year. No one seems to believe that right now, but I think they do.
They went out and spent some money on like a guy like AJ Bouye or however you pronounce his name, and then they drafted.
I think it's Bouye, whatever. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Like that, and like Jalen. I mean, I've been a huge believer in Jalen Ramsey ever since the draft. I was hoping the Ravens were going to get him.
I agree.
Did not. But I think those are two of the best cornerback duos right now in the NFL.
Now that
you have those two guys, when you have that defense and you don't have to factor in like Bortles being terrible,
throwing picks and
losing points to that, then you have the makings of an underrated fantasy defense that's stream worthy.
Yeah,
that a lot of people might, and a lot of like uneducated fantasy players, like more casual fantasy players, will overlook because Jaguars bad. Like, and people and pieces on bad teams can still do good things.
I agree. I took the Ravens defense there for us, and then it just kind of gave us like whatever kicker, and then it gave us a B for overall for the draft grade. I really like that team, especially I'd be happy with that team for
it's 10. A high upside, that's why.
Yeah, but I'd be happy with that team in a 10-man league, and we did it as a 12-man league.
Yeah,
and that says a
lot. I get surprised by that sometimes when I do mocks, and I look, and then like I do 12. I'm trying to do 12-team mocks because they're harder, and I'll get teams like this, and I'm like, yeah, I'm actually surprised I got this as a 12-team.
Exactly. Same.
Yeah.
So, I think that was a good mock. You know, like I said, I like that team. I'm pretty happy with it. There were a few guys like if we wanted to, we could have taken Tom Brady or so.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few we could have plugged in a few different things, but I'm happy with that.
When we went for stuff that like we went for like Cousins or Cam, like I'm not really that big on them at all because they're not going before the 10th round. Personally, this year for a lot of my leagues, I'm waiting till at least 10th round to grab like Rivers and Stafford and people like that. But that's what mocks are kind of for. They're for trying out different strategies and seeing what you come up with, and challenge your thinking, basically. Like, if you're strictly against, like, going against, or if you're strictly, like, never going to do zero RB ever or anything like that, do a mock draft of zero RB and see what you come up with, and like try to and take it a little bit seriously and try to see what team you can kind of build with certain parameters.
Yeah, because even like you said, you might have a strategy and your draft might throw you for a loop, man. I mean, you might not intend to do zero RB, but then you might be in a position where you took Odell Beckham in the first round, fifth overall, and then you're lucky enough to have Jordy Nelson fall to you in your second round picks, and then all of a sudden you've got two great wide receivers, and then you're not taking, you know, a running back until like a later round. So
a lot of people are going running backs early because they saw how dominant they were last year. Well, the year before it wasn't so. The year before, running backs underperformed, and wide receivers were like the bee's knees, and thus that's why like last year's top three instead of David Johnson, Le'Veon, and Zeke, it was Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, and Julio.
Yeah.
So
it
can flip flop like that. I mean, it's possible that the three RBs will still dominate. It's possible one of them might be done for the year. So it's always good to sort of account for different scenarios, and being able to adjust your strategy even in mid draft, depending on like which way it goes.
Yeah. I mean, and like you said, I think I'm a firm believer that your league is never won at the draft. It's rarely, I should say, it's rarely won at the draft.
You can't win your league in the draft, but you can definitely lose it. So
absolutely, exactly.
And there's a difference.
So yeah,
there's a huge difference. But yeah, it's like I said, it's very, very hard to win your league at the draft. It's almost impossible, but you could definitely lose your league at the draft and just
yeah. So and in terms of like curveballs and stuff like that, the more even if you if you're listening to this podcast, you definitely take fantasy seriously. If you listen to any fantasy podcast, you take fantasy relatively seriously. That's exactly. Not so much a guarantee in when you're actually playing with leagues. There's no guarantee that everyone else in your league is doing the things that you're doing or listening to podcasts and doing the research, stuff like that, at least this early, because it's still a little bit early. Like, preseason has to start. Now it's a lot more, more the uninitiators sort of get into researching and stuff like that. So to that end, always be ready to adjust in your draft, because you never know when that like Tom Brady number one overall pick comes in. You know what I mean? Like, you just never know.
It happens all the time.
And it makes me laugh because I take advantage of it, but it makes me cry a little bit because it cheapens it for me. But
it's part of the the fun that is this that this game that we spend so much time talking about. But
good story. Sorry, good tangent story. Last year, I played in one of my Ravens like cheer teammate leagues. And one of the guys on the team is a diehard like Cowboys fan, and homered the shit out of his draft. He took Zeke in the first round, which you might laugh at. You might not laugh at now, but like last year, he was like a second, third rounder, and then he ended up with Dak Prescott, and he took Dez Bryant, and he was in the finals because he had Zeke and Dak Prescott, like. Shit like that happens, man. It's super annoying, but it does. You never know
when one of these offenses is gonna hit or something like that. Yeah. And I was gonna caution people to just when I was a young fantasy player, I always wanted to get guys from my favorite team because it would make watching the games more funner and stuff. I just caution you against I would also like not want to pick Steelers players because I wouldn't want to root for them. This is. You've got to put your feelings aside, especially if you're new. This is like should be one of the first lessons you learn. Put your feelings aside and look at this from a non-biased point of view. It's still tough for some of us that have been playing for years. I know in the first round, I might be looking at AJ Green, and there's someone else who's I know I should be taking, but I'm still going to consider AJ Green.
Yeah.
But
take it from a Ravens fan. There's no way that if I have second pick. I'm getting DJ or Le'Veon, one of the two.
Absolutely.
And if I get Le'Veon, like, I'm super happy about it. And absolutely. I hate the Steelers.
I hate the Steelers with every ounce of my being, but if I have the second overall pick, I'm happily taking Le'Veon Bell and then rooting for him to have a great season. So that's just, this beast that we're tackling, this game that we're playing. So that's, we're about around an hour, maybe a little bit over again. So again, we're always looking to improve, get better. We're still getting started. Hit a few bumps in the roads along the way. Just not necessarily bumps in the roads, but like learning experiences about like where to host the podcast and stuff like that.
We should be a little bit more consistent in terms of now the season's starting to start up, like a lot of our podcasts are doing. Probably won't be an everyday thing, but we will try to get there as much as we can.
Absolutely. Definitely going to at least try to have it be a weekly thing during the season. Maybe twice. We're not sure. I'm not sure like what we're going to commit to, but I think it's definitely something that I don't know about you, but I definitely want to do it
weekly during
the season. Like I said, we hit a couple snags in terms of like where we were going to have the podcast hosted through. So we got all that figured out.
Yeah.
We do have our own Reddit accounts now that we're kind of like just going to be just using just for fantasy football discussion and stuff like that. Yours is GFYS Nick, and I'm correct. GFYS Brian. So if you see us in a thread, tell us what's up, tell us that we suck, tell us that whatever, just say what's up. If you guys are listening, we'd really appreciate it if you subscribed via iTunes,
or leave us a review, rating, whatever.
Rate us, leave us a review, whatever it is. Like I said, we're always trying to get better, looking for any kind of constructive feedback and constructive criticism. Send us a message, send us an email,
you know, gfyspodcast@gmail.com. We're still getting set up on like Twitter and stuff like that, so I don't want to like plug that, but you know, that's, it's, we're still getting started here with like all the social media, but we'd really appreciate any kind of subscribes, likes, you know, reviews on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you're listening from. We appreciate it. And also want to mention too, we've got new intro music thanks to Nick's band, Better Homes. So we don't have to, if you're Future's lawyer listening to this and you're typing up a cease and desist, we have ceased and we have desist. thanks to Nick and his
yeah band. BetterHomesBand.com. Check it out.
Yeah, check them out, they're awesome. So yeah, like I said, give us a shout out, hit us up if you see us in any kind of discussion, or just let us know how we're doing. But that was the fourth episode. I'm Brian
and I'm Nick.
All right, and now we are the Good For You Season Fantasy Football Podcast.